Chapter 22. It was kind of hard to ignore the fact that Foggy had said the L word twice in a month, but ignore it, Matt did. Foggy had long thought that the worst thing in the world would be to say I love you and not have someone say it back. He knew better now. The worst thing in the world wasn't saying it with no reply or acknowledgement. The worst thing in the world was knowing that he loved Matt, knowing that he could make him happy, and knowing that Matt wouldn't take a chance on him after being burned so thoroughly by Electra. It sucked. The question Foggy had to ask himself was whether he was prepared to wait. Was he prepared to let Matt heal first? Was he prepared to grow together as friends, to put the time in to understand Matt, to love him how he needed to be loved? Or could he only love and accept Matt on his own terms and on his time frame? The answer seemed easy, but living it was hard. It was so hard. Something Foggy had learned about Matt was that he was slow to forgive when he was offended or felt he'd been slighted in some way. Foggy wasn't. By the time he returned to law school after spring break, he was a little too ready to kiss and make up. It was a dangerous thing, being quick to forgive, even if it wasn't quick in the sense of instant forgiveness. It was quick in the sense of prioritizing. Forgiving Matt was more important than resenting or punishing Matt for hurting him, and that was why Foggy was headed for trouble. Matt could all too easily hurt him again if Foggy was too quick to forgive him. He knew that, and he struggled daily, reminding himself to hold Matt accountable for his choices, and to hold himself accountable, too. With the right or wrong motivation, Foggy could hold a grudge like nobody's business. But when his motivation was a future with Matt, he was much too inclined to bury that hurt and leave it unresolved for the sake of friendship and a possible future relationship. He considered it a good thing that he had exam revision, lectures, and his family taking him out of the dorm room at regular intervals. If he didn't, he may have wound up turning unconditional comforter and sympathizer to Matt, a dangerous thing when his feelings were this tangled up and twisted around. As it was, he struggled to focus on his revision notes whenever he was in close proximity to Matt. Tonight was the perfect example of that. Foggy's notes on law and contacts were spread across his desk. He sat with his chin propped on his hand, looking longingly at Matt without even realizing he was doing it. Matt didn't appear to have noticed, luckily. He had his earbuds in and was sitting at his desk with his head slightly cocked and his glasses off, hence Foggy's stare. There was something soft and vulnerable at Matt when his eyes were exposed. Fortunately, a knock at the door broke Foggy out of his stupor. He shook his head and got up to answer it. As soon as that door opened, Matt's glasses were back on. Foggy blinked at the change with the result that he was entirely distracted during his five-minute exchange with Marcy, taking the spare highlighters she brought without a thank you, barely managing half a dozen words. She would tease him about it later and extort cafeteria cake out of him, but at that moment, Foggy was too preoccupied to realize that he was being rude. He shut the door on an incredulous Marcy Stahl and leaned his back against it, frowning at Matt, who hadn't said a word. "Why do you do that?" Foggy asked, staring at his roommate, utterly perplexed. "Sorry," Matt mumbled, removing his earbuds. "For what?" Foggy said, as Matt pushed his chair back from his desk. I don't know, I'm just sorry," Matt muttered with a heavy sigh. Foggy pushed away from the door, trying to read Matt's expression. Almost as if he knew or suspected what Foggy was up to, Matt turned his face away from him. His side profile gave away nothing, save for the pallor of his cheeks and the muscle clenching in his jaw. "Hey," Foggy murmured, watching Matt remove his glasses again. "Are you okay?" "Wow," Matt muttered, the corner of his mouth twitching. "What?" Foggy asked, with an air of confusion. "Nothing, it's just been a while since you've asked me that. I forgot how it's nice. I'm fine," Matt added quickly, his words tumbling one over another, leaving his mouth in a rush. Foggy moved and set Marcy's highlighters on his desk, pondering Matt's words and his nervousness, he kept saying those words, sorry, and I'm fine. It wasn't what Foggy wanted to hear. He sighed and moved to stand in front of him, watching Matt struggle to keep his expression neutral. You're not fine, are you? Foggy asked, as Matt's lips tightened, but then his friend sighed and shook his head. Not really, he admitted, looking as if he regretted the words as soon as he uttered them. Come here, Foggy murmured, empathy drowning out every other emotion that Matt's honest response evoked. He reached for Matt's hand, gently drawing him to his feet and into a hug, the first since spring break. He squeezed his eyes shut for a moment when he heard Matt's shaky exhale and felt his arms wrap around him. He'd missed him. He'd missed this. He'd missed things feeling easy and natural between them. He pulled away from Matt before the hug could turn into something he'd regret later, clearing his throat awkwardly. So tell me something, Foggy said, eyeing Matt curiously as his friend resumed his seat, his expression unreadable. Why do you wear your glasses around Marcy and everyone else, but you take them off when you're around me? Why do you wear them at all? Your eyes are... They're what? Matt asked, his tone turning cold, almost making Foggy lose his nerve. But he threw caution to the wind and continued. I used to think they'd be, I don't know, something scary to look at, all scarred, and they're not, though, Foggy added, sensing danger merely from the look on Matt's face. You actually have really nice... I'm gonna stop before I dig myself a hole here. Wise, Matt commented dryly. Foggy stifled a groan. Every time he touched on the topic of Matt's blindness, he seemed to say entirely the wrong thing, but he wouldn't avoid the topic either, no matter how awkward and self-conscious it made him feel sometimes. So come on, he persisted against his better judgment. Why the glasses? Because I'm a walking, talking stereotype, Matt suggested with a shrug of his shoulders. Forget I asked, Foggy mumbled, shaking his head. He retreated to his desk and paged idly through his notes, the pages of shorthand failing to hold his attention. He picked up an orange highlighter from the collection Marcy had loaned him, playing with the cap, clicking it in his hand over and over, chewing at his lip anxiously. But then Matt spoke, his tone hesitant. Someone once told me, pretty soon after the accident, a few months after, I guess, I was waiting for my dad to come get me from... It's a school for the blind, Matt explained haltingly, as Foggy listened with bated breath. But this woman was waiting, too. She was picking up her husband, I think. Anyway, she asked me what happened, and she said I was too young and that my eyes were... That was a waste, me being blind. Foggy frowned deeply, finding nothing to say, not voicing the disgust he felt at the woman's comment to Matt, which had obviously affected him significantly if the fact that he still remembered her words all these years later was any indication. I asked my dad for a pair of sunglasses when he came to get me, and that was that, Matt said, wincing slightly. People are always weird about it, you know? If my glasses are off, I feel like they're staring at my eyes, trying to figure out what's wrong with them, or they're telling me I'm staring at them. But you're... I know, Matt said quickly. That's what I tell them. I'm blind. How can I possibly be staring at you? I feel like you're looking right through me. That's what they say, like that makes it better. I don't know, Fog. People are weird about it, and it's a defense, I guess. When I wear my glasses, I'm not uncomfortable, and they're not either. It was a long moment before Foggy could find a single word to say in response. He struggled to breathe, let alone process it all. Matt's insecurity about his eyes touched him deeply, though he didn't feel that emotion quite as deeply as he did the anger that seemed to sink into his bones with his fresh awareness of how much people's disrespect affected Matt. You take your glasses off around me and I say all kinds of stupid stuff, Foggy mumbled uncomfortably. Sometimes, yeah, but I trust you, Matt said, his expression open and vulnerable in a way that made Foggy ache inside. Those few words meant so much more to him than any apology Matt could make for the past few months. Foggy bit his lip and nodded, casting around for a change of subject, needing something to do that didn't involve being confronted with the rawness of Matt's vulnerability. "Let's take a break from studying," Foggy suggested after an awkward pause. I'll find us a movie to watch. We can wind down before bed, okay?" "Okay, Foggy," Matt agreed with a small smile. He abandoned his desk and moved to sit on the sofa. Foggy glanced at his roommate anxiously as he moved to join him and pulled a stack of DVDs out of a cardboard box, but Matt didn't put his glasses back on, and Foggy couldn't help but feel a little honored by that. End chapter 22.